It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up.
So you sent me the picture of those deflated foam oranges or the full ones with the pricing depending on what type of orange you get. Did you find out whether you can have that delivered to you or do you have to take it home? Because they're in a glass case.
Yeah.
So someone has to take it out of there or do you,
it's like razors on the day? Grocery store.
Yeah. Do you get it on the day or will they send it to you?
I did not get that information.
Okay.
There was no information on procurement. Okay. Or payment plan.
If you're out,
can I just pay $25 a month for the next?
Can I get four payments interest free to get my orange? So if you guys know, if you've been out to the ballpark in the early season and have seen them and maybe have bought one, let us know. If you know how you get one of those, can you take it home the day of, or will they send it to you?
And apparently they had to like cut some of them. That's why they're like that.
Yeah, to remove them from other oranges, I guess. Other fake oranges. We didn't mention this, at least I didn't. I guess it's my responsibility. Dylan Brooks picked up his 16th technical. We talked about this. It would be better if he picked it up in the LA game so he could miss the Utah game. Instead, he will miss they play OKC next?
OKC.
He'll miss the OKC game unless the Rockets appeal it and it gets rescinded. It was against Colin Sexton. It was down on the Rockets end of the floor, and I think Colin Sexton took the ball away from him or something, or whatever. But it wound up where Dylan Brooks' legs flailed, and it hit Colin Sexton in a place you never want to get hit. And then an arm kind of flailed out there, too. All I know that Colin Sexton took a half a beat to recover. They reviewed it, and Tony Brothers was like, technical foul, Dylan Brooks, which means he has 16. And we were talking about what subsequent technical fouls would mean. Every technical foul after you pick up your 16th in the regular season, it's a $5,000 fine. Every two, you miss another game.
Okay.
They were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday. Okay. So, Dylan Brooks, unless they get the appeal heard and goes in their favor, he's going to miss the OKC game. And then he's on the hook for $5,000 the rest of the way if he picks up another technical. So, that's how that plays out. But beyond him knocking down, or at least kicking Colin Sexton there, and Reed Shepard knocking down shots late, there wasn't a lot going on in that game. It's just the Jazz.
It was just the team thoroughly outplaying the Utah Jazz.
Yes, and the Jazz are just trying to get to the end of the year and secure the best possible draft pick they can. And then they'll head off into the Salt Lake City summer, and they'll do it all over again next year. Unless they get Cooper Flagg, and they may start trying next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be the entire point of this Jazz era since trading away Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, is that they're basically doing the process, but I don't know.
Hoping it goes better.
Catching less heat for it and hoping it goes well. But, I mean, who's their – like, they haven't actually gotten their even Joel Embiid yet.
No. Lauri Markkanen.
Have they gotten their Michael Carter Williams yet?
They traded for Lauri Markkanen, and he's a good player. They paid him to keep him when trading him might have been the better option for them, considering how they never want to win games. But he is not good enough to be the best player on a really good basketball team.
The West is insane,
yes,
too.
It's a bad place to be in if Lauri Markkanen's your best player. He's good. He would help a lot of teams. You just don't want him as your number one, unless you're a bad team who doesn't mind him only playing 40 games a year.
Yeah.
So there that is.
Feel bad for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, all broken up for him.
Yeah.
My Twitter account would be the opposite of Vernon Maxwell's, where all I do is tweet sympathetic things about the Jazz.
Especially if they miss out on
they
Cooper
do Black. Have electricity in Utah. Why hasn't someone created a not Vernon Maxwell Twitter account and just counters everything he says when he talks about the Jazz? Get that done. If you want some engagement.
We do have Wi-Fi.
If you want some engagement, do that. And you and Vernon Maxwell can go back and forth, see how it goes for you.
If this was like 2014 Twitter, then definitely.
Something
that definitely would already exist.
like, and you will position yourself as a Houston fan who just thinks he's too hard on the Jazz. Yeah. Like, you're not even a Jazz fan. You think Vernon Maxwell's out of line. That's all.
Or yeah, you're a Houston fan that lives in Utah.
Something like that. You know what, Vernon? I thought the same as you did.
Hey, I don't root for these guys, but we do have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. You keep talking about electricity and Wi-Fi. How do you think I'm tweeting at you right now? Electricity and Wi-Fi, Vernon. Okay. Okay, so Dylan Brooks, the technical foul. We can talk about someone who didn't get a technical foul, but he's being investigated. We talked about it yesterday, but we didn't actually play the clip. Ja Morant, he is being investigated for his gun gesture. If you didn't see it, late in the Warriors' win over the Grizz, it was during a timeout. They're walking back to the bench. Ja Morant looks to a couple of Warriors who are congregating after a timeout. After the timeout, and they're all walking away, at least the Grizzlies are. And he does like a little, it's not even a little, he does double fingers. You want to call him holding a rifle? I don't know what you want to call it. He just had finger guns out with both hands pointing at random members of the Warriors. Buddy Hield didn't appreciate it. He mimicked it, saying what are you doing? I don't know if Buddy Hield's going to get in trouble for doing it, but he pretty much like, hey, look at him. He's doing the gun
he's
thing.
He's doing the thing.
Yeah. Draymond had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Steph was perplexed by it.
My favorite part of that, Steph was just kind of like, what are you doing?
The one guy who did not care, like Jimmy Butler's walking by, and then Ja does it as Jimmy Butler's passed him, so Butler doesn't see it. He sees the reaction of his teammates and goes. He looks back. Oh, Jimmy's like, whatever. I'm just gonna keep going. I'm not getting involved in this. So the NBA is investigating Ja. It's been a quiet year plus for Ja when it comes to things like that. But he's back. He's back. A frustration for the Grizzlies all around as they fire their coach. Things have not gone well for them after a good start to the year. And we'll see what the NBA does. I'm sure he'll catch a fine for the gun gesture. Well, I don't know if a suspension will come. But, yeah, the Warriors are like, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? What's going on?
The fact none of them were, like, mad. They're all just like, what is this?
We're grown men. You're an adult.
I'm Stephen Curry.
Are you suggesting that it's you? I think the words he said might have been more important how intimidating and how egregious this was. If he's just doing a hand gesture and go, if he actually makes a threat, then we have a real problem.
But if
he just does the hand gesture, I'm not sure what's going to come of it.
Do you think the Warriors could have made it worse for him if they all just got down like it was an actual gun?
Maybe
they all just covered up like on the bench, like when a guy
when a
comes,
guy when a guy. Makes I guess an awful attempt at a three, just hits the side of the backboard.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, oh no. Yeah. If they would have done that, it certainly would have drawn more attention. I just don't know, man. It's odd to see it. Like, you've got a max deal, Buddy Hield, you don't have a max deal. But Jimmy, Draymond, Steph, Ja, all dudes with max deals. What is going on?
All people whose net worth is probably over $300 million.
At this point, totality of contracts, are we getting close to $1 billion between them?
Oh, probably.
Steph's, Jimmy's.
Jimmy's making earnings. $50 million a year and going to make $60 million.
Yeah, if we're talking about career earnings combined, they're probably in that high, $750 to billion dollar range. And this is what they're involved in. I would be perplexed if I'm Steph, too. Wait a minute. I just want a gold medal. What are you doing?
I have a wife and kids.
What are we talking about here? Why are you pointing guns? Why are you pointing finger guns at me? I don't know, man. Ja's a great player, but there are some questions about not only maturity, but what he can be as a player. I mean, we have these things about Jalen Green, but Ja's another one of those guys who we're not sure if he, when it was felt like it was pretty clear, like remember second overall to Zion, oh, the Grizzlies really lucked out. Look what Ja's become, and Zion can't stay on the court. Now it's those top two guys, while Ja plays more, you got questions about both.
Or Jalen plays more.
No, I was comparing them to Zion.
Zion. Okay.
Because the Grizzlies were this, you know, they lost out because they couldn't get Zion because they finished second in the lottery. And they picked Ja, and it's like, it's pretty good to have Ja. Zion doesn't play. He's injured. Yeah. We got Ja. We're consistent. Maybe not real contender, but at least we're the two seed. And now you got a team who's fired the coach, and you got a player who's reverted back at least in this way. I mean, it's not the gun thing online is a different story, but there is a question about his maturity overall and just what he can be as a player, because the jump shooting has not improved. And if teams can just sag off of you and you're going to miss time for nagging injuries, there's a lot going on there where you're like, yeah, what's the Grizzlies' future, and does it still have Ja Morant in it?
I mean, as far as availability, too, like...
Yeah, he doesn't play. He misses like 7 to 8. He stretches 7 games, 5 games here, 4 games here.
He's played 55 games the last 2 seasons.
I'm saying.
So he had 9 last season due to suspension and injury, and then 46 this year only due to injury. Meanwhile, Zion Williamson, Iron Man, people are asking.
Who's asking that?
30 games this year, 70 last year, last 2 seasons, 100 games, Ja Morant, 55. How's that for availability?
So we have an answer. I guess the news dropped like 30 minutes or so ago. Buddy Hield and Ja both got warnings for their gun gestures. Buddy Hield's like, I was just mimicking what the guy was doing to me. You're going to warn me? No fines, no suspensions, but they do both get warnings for, hey, cut that out. We're not looking for that. So that's all that comes of that.
Also, Ja Morant, 23 points per game, rounding up a little. 55% from the field, 30% three. Jalen Green, 22 points, 35 from three, 42 from overall. I don't know. I don't know. Same picture to me. Same picture to me.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So
Jalen Green with the shoe deal. Jalen Green that does the gritty. That's
Jalen Green who doesn't play enough.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Jalen Green's played twice as many games this season.
Yeah, Jalen Green's on the verge of playing 2 straight years of 82 games apiece. So this was the language from the NBA. The league ruled the celebrations were not intended to be violent in nature, but inappropriate. I would first say they weren't celebrations. The Grizzlies were down by 7. That was not a celebration. And it was just Buddy Hield mocking or doing the same thing Ja did to him. Not a celebration. But I don't know how you determine what's violent or not. It feels like the gun thing is violent. But I guess it depends on what he might have said. If he was like just pointing at him, "Hey, buddy, you want to meet up for dinner?
Want to play Call of Duty after this?"
That's right. COD, me and you, COD, and Buddy's like, "Me and you, COD."
Yeah, let's go.
That's how they. It's like when guys on motorcycles do that little signal, say, "Hey, man, I'm on a Harley. You're on a Harley." That's what they're doing. COD, COD, and that's why no one is going to face a suspension or catch a fine. So all's well that ends well, right? We'll see what Ja does in Miami tonight. Him and Tyler Hero. COD? COD. Well, he should be finding Kyler Murray. Those are the two who should be playing.
Kyler's probably too good.
At COD.
Actually, Ja Morant has a lot of free time on his hands.
Yeah, he doesn't play enough. He might be great at Call of Duty. Him and Kyler go back and forth. I would bet, if it wouldn't just be a bad look, that Kyler Murray would be in a Call of Duty tournament, like one of those, and play one of those streamers who makes 25K yeah. for one of the tournament.
Kyler, where they're all like sat in a row.
Yeah, Kyler would be a celebrity, the celebrity part of the celebrity team who plays. But you know, guys,
pro am
guys, I would, but the contract, you know, can't. It's a bad look for me. I can't do it. But I appreciate the invite. He's avoided any real news other than like pretty much playing in anonymity in Arizona the last couple of years. Made that playoff appearance and then got drilled by the Rams. We haven't really paid attention to Arizona since, except how come Marvin Harrison Jr. is not playing well? And then he got productive later in the year. Okay. We'll go to break with that. I'll tell you where the Killer Bees and Paul Gallant will be. Maybe you want to go out there and join them. We'll let you know where they're going to be tomorrow. And that creates a change for our show. Joe George, who produced last week for me or with me, will do that again tomorrow with Sean and his schedule changing. So we'll have Joe and Michael here tomorrow. And you want to join us today, you can. 713-780-3776. We got a couple more seconds to go before we're out of here. We will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
You know, something didn't ring true with me when we were doing the job thing. It's COD, right? It's not. I was like, wait a minute. I know they don't. Why do I keep saying CLD when it's actually COD? That's how they shortened Call of Duty. I was like, wait a minute. There's something odd about that. CLD's funny. It sounds funny to me, but it's actually COD. That's what they call it. So I'm sure John Buddy Hill will be on COD in the next couple of days working out their differences. We'll get to the Casario thing here. But I did want to give you a little thing about the Final Four. Ken Pom, who we've talked about quite a bit, because the four teams in the Final Four rank in the top 10 of his historic rankings since 1996-97. All four of these teams rank in his top 10. Well, according to Ken Pom, at least according to the numbers, each team in this year's Final Four is similar to a past champion. Auburn's similar to 2021 Baylor. That's the Davion Mitchell team, the team that blew out the Cougs in the national semifinal, then tore Gonzaga to shreds. This year's Duke team is very similar to last year's UConn team, which kept going a historic run. The team before won a national title, didn't play a game within single digits. Last year's team, same, didn't play a game within single digits on their way to a title. Florida is that Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Villanova team. Did the 17-18 team, Villanova team, win a title? That might be the team that did not win a title. I don't remember. They might have. And the Cougs, I looked that up. And the Cougs most closely represent the Virginia team who, after getting knocked out against a 16, won their national title when they beat Tech in the Final Four. So all the teams represented in this year's Final Four are very similar to past Final Four teams and teams that have won titles. So we will see how it plays out in San Antonio this year. I'm trying to figure out what that Villanova team did. Did they win a national title?
Which one? 2018?
They won a national title.
That was the Michigan. They blew out Michigan.
They blew out Michigan. So all these teams are similar to teams who have won national titles. So I guess Ken Pom saying, I can't call it. I'm sure he has a prediction, but
it'd be great if one of them was just like, this is like FAU 2 years ago. By the way, when we talk about the transfer portal and NIL, like how Cinderellas don't happen anymore, like, do we remember the Final Four 2 years ago hosted in Houston where it was San Diego State, FAU,
Miami and UConn?
Miami and UConn.
But that was before NIL really took over, Sean.
It was 2023. It was legal for 2 years.
NIL's different now, Sean.
If anything, it was more of the Wild West back then. Now people at least have like a strategy.
Well, and the big boys are winning out, okay, at least for a year, okay. For a year. I don't know what we consider Texas Tech as far as where they stand, big boy in college basketball, but they're one like blown lead away from being in the Final Four. So where would Tech be as far as the NIL and how they handle it? I know they've got money invested in football. I don't know about basketball.
It is funny that we are just one, either UConn beating or even Purdue beating Houston.
What a Purdue.
Like, we're very close to this, the perfect narrative not to fit.
Yeah. A couple shots here or there depending on the game.
It's also, according to Kenneth Pomeroy, for the 10 best teams since he's been tracking it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe this year there's just four really freaking
really good
teams.
And that's just how it played out.
Because it's not like, I mean, let Jim Nantz tell it. It's not like U of H is this team built on transfer portal and NIL.
Two of their starting five are transfer.
It's not like they're
two of their best offensive weapons are transfer.
To be fair, they're taking them only from little programs
like Baylor
and Oklahoma.
Oh.
How is Oklahoma supposed to compete in the current landscape of college sports?
Recent national champion Baylor?
How are they?
You mean
to do
LJ
that?
Cryer, who was on that national title team? Okay.
How are they supposed to compete?
I get it. Like I said, the Cougs are catnip for the old school guys who love hard nose, and it's cool and all, but they're a modern program. As much as Kelvin Sampson's going to make sure those guys are physical and they're going to practice without a basketball, all the things everyone gets all warm feelings in their special places about, they're still modern enough. They're paying. They're making sure the guys stay. They're not. They don't. There's not. They're not built like everyone. They're not Duke with likely top pick in the draft and other
three lottery
picks.
Yeah,
but they're modern enough. It ain't. They're not playing in black Converse over there. All right.
I don't know.
No, I've seen them. I don't know. They got. In fact, they're a Jordan Brand school. Pretty modern. Just want to point that out.
No, but they're basically like Hoosiers.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
You know, Jimmy Chitwood, Milo Suzan, same thing.
That's one. Which one has a drunk dad then?
I don't want to say.
Okay, yeah. Stay away from that.
There's not an answer I can give that won't be incendiary.
Insensitive to someone, at least. Yeah, just leave that in fiction with Gene Hackman and Hoosiers. Okay, let's get to Mike. He wants to talk playoffs and, I guess, the listener beef from yesterday. Then we'll get to the Casario thing. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I also wanted to, really quick, I was going to talk playoffs, but I wanted to comment about this thing. I don't know if y'all can reach out to Das, but tell him to crack open that checkbook. We need some more five stars in here. If we win, the national championship, I went to U of H. I actually played baseball there, humble brag. But, the school there is tiny. It is really just a glorified, homeschool program.
Wow.
I love it. I thought it was awesome, and I would love to see it grow. That's the only sport that we have going right now that has any potential of being like a good sport. I don't know if you got to get on the line with like Monument Chevrolet, start giving them all the basketball players, give them all a Silverado, dude. Give them all a Silverado. Give them what they need.
Mike, before you go on, let me tell you, your recruiting class right now, top 7 player in the country. Another player, top six, number 16 in the country. Another player, number 23rd in the country. And then you got a piddly 214th player in the country. Trust me. I don't know if it's Daspit or Tillman. Guys are getting theirs, and you got a great recruiting class coming in. Don't worry. You don't need Monument. You don't Daspit, I know, has played a part over there in the past. You guys are good. Don't worry.
No, Billy Brown, cut the check.
Yeah. Don't make the Brown go down. Make the Green go up, Billy Brown. Get over there for Aqueduct and get the Cougs another 5-star. But go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't. Still open that book. Open
I understand.
Get them on banners. Get them on billboards. Something. Gotcha. The average person does not know that our recruiting class is that good. Gotcha. If the average person did, then I think that they would be able to, go to the games. They'd have. I'm not. Honestly, U of H is would be honored to even be considered a mid major, a real mid major. Be honest. In the past 6 years, we've been good. But I'm talking, get on the level of a Gonzaga. Get on the level of a...
They just beat Gonzaga. They just beat them.
No, he means historically.
I'm talking about... Okay. I'm talking about longevity. Longevity.
Mike, they've been good since about 2018. It's 7 years of being a real contender. Come on. I thought you were about to call him 13th grade at some point, but you went homeschool, which I don't know which is more insulting. You sound like Longhorn Mike.
I went to school there.
But I'm going to tell you right now, we'll get to your playoff stuff and listener beef stuff. You actually sound like Longhorn Mike, not Cougar Mike.
Ugh, gross. No.
I'm just telling you what the vibe is when you talk about how this piddly school who can barely compete, they've been great at basketball for a long time. Yes, the other programs, they got problems. But basketball is your beacon, like you said, the one thing that you can be proud of.
Yes. I'm just saying, I think they could build that. They don't market enough to really get kids in that school. They don't, and I think if they were to market off of the basketball, that hey, there is pretty much a potential to make to an Elite Eight every year, at least a Sweet 16. That will get excitement in the school. I'm telling you, that school is a snooze fest for most of the year, except in March. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Listen, believe it or not, I kind of have pride for the school. I like it. I wish it would be more than it is. You know, I hate that schools like SFA and, San Houston, no offense to those schools, but those schools get more kids going there. It's embarrassing. It's a big school in a big city. You know, it should be more than what it is. Anyways, that was my soapbox. I just think that they could do more. It's a great program. Kelvin's great. I know he loves to fire those kids up. They just showed some of the practices where they have them basically suplexing each other for a ball, wrestling for a ball on the ground. Everyone's like, oh, that sucks. I think that's awesome. Get them to be gritty. Like, get them to do all that stuff. And that'll, you know, that gets people excited. I forgot what my
playoffs
was on the other thing.
Playoffs and listener beef, you have anything on that before you go?
Yes, really quick. Do you think this is actually a good sign for the Rockets? We get to see, like, who Jalen Green and Şengün actually are. Now that we have a decent seed, do you think, as a management, you would be excited to see, well, let's see if what we paid for actually pays off? Because that way, they either become superstars and grow into their role of what they're getting paid, and, hey, you know what, you're leading the team. Maybe you can get us a couple of playoff series wins. And on the flip side, if they don't, hey, then you know what? We can trade them and move them without anyone having to bark back at us, like, you know, fan-wise. And then the last thing, that beef. Why are y'all calling that a beef? Julian and that, who is it, Lazy J? That's Beyond Burger. That's not even real beef going on.
Vegan.
Both of them are off. They're both talking about, Julian talked about what? Doesn't he talk about the 49ers? And the other guy's talking about soccer?
Yes.
He doesn't even have good soccer takes.
Okay.
Anyways, I just wanted to say that. That's Beyond Burger beef. That's okay. Not even real beef.
All right.
Anyways, you had me fired up today, Dale. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Well, I didn't think of it as vegan. Listener,
yeah,
vegans.
Impossible.
Impossible beef or whatever you want to call it. But there it is. So if those guys are listening, you certainly can respond or not. Maybe just take that and you internalize it and go, you know what? Maybe we are soft. It's up to you. As far as the Rockets, I think that's what these playoffs are about, at least for me. This whole thing, whether they get knocked out in the first round or they make a run to the Western Conference Finals or the Finals, we're going to find out about these guys.
And that it's a good spot to be in. Also, that the contracts for Green and Şengün, the ones that they signed them to, they're not that they didn't give them the max. Like, there's a lot more. We talked about it last offseason when Scotty Barnes signed his deal. We're just like, ugh. Hope they're not using this as the jumping off point, because we're not sure about that for Scotty Barnes. And I'm not sure if at least Jalen Green is better than Scotty Barnes. And I'm holding my nose signing Barnes to that. So, and they didn't. They got a better deal than on both those guys.
So can you get the, since this fits kind of this topic, can you get the Simmons on, do the Rockets need to make a move? We'll play that before we go. But to Mike's point, as far as what the organization thinks, we had Emace on earlier as far as a sounder. He wasn't on as a guest, but he talked about this was the expectation to make the playoffs. No one's too happy about it. We keep it moving. And I think the organization will celebrate this. They will be very excited about making it. But the next step is to see who your guys are when they're playing their most important basketball of their careers. It's been harped on that almost the entire roster knows nothing. Forget about playoffs, of playing winning basketball. They have reached that point. And now it's about who are you when things are put against you as obstacles, as far as game planning, people knowing your weaknesses and having you play to them. How do you perform? That'll be what this series is and this potential playoff run will be about for me. And I think the organization will feel the same way. Whether they're going to use it as a jumping off point to make a trade, I don't know about that. Are they going to let one playoff run determine what these guys can be when their best players aren't even 25 years old? That seems unlikely, but the Rockets, according to people who know, want a star. And this is the time for one of the guys on the roster to prove it. And if they don't, maybe the Rockets have to feel, or they feel like they have to make a move to go acquire one. Well, here's noted Boston Celtic lover Bill Simmons, the creator of that awful, and I just assume it's awful, doc that I'm not watching. Here's his thoughts on the Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green tandem and what could be the future of the Rockets.
I just feel like Houston, when I watch them, as good as the record's been, and I've enjoyed them, and I think they're in the running for league pass MVPs this year. I feel like they're a year away. They're a move away, and the move probably involves Şengün or Green, but they don't have that, like, I got this guy in offense, which is why the Booker option would have been so interesting for them. I don't know what they do, but don't you think, like, 1 year from now, I'm really interested to see where they are.
So this isn't a thought regarding these two can't play together, Şengün and or Green and Green. This is about using one of them because you have to acquire a star, and they're the most likely asset that would bring one in.
Yeah, if you're going to get another big, like a Giannis type or whoever, it would make sense that Şengün would be the one out. It's basically the idea of improving on one of these guys using that guy as the trade piece. If it's a more perimeter guy, maybe it's Jalen, whatever.
And you throw in picks to make it even, I guess.
I do think that a part of it is that these guys can also take not a leap, but like there's also room for improvement for these guys. That, you know, the best way to get a star is just to have one of these 23-year-olds become a star. And it's I don't know if it's still like out of the question if these guys can figure it out. I mean, you look at guys in their draft class, in the 2021 draft class, like this is kind of Cade Cunningham's first year as a legit star. This is Evan Mobley's first year as a really, really big piece. He was a good piece on last year's team, but now he's a little bit more of a, you know, I guess all around kind of, he had all around improvement that has taken him a couple notches higher. I don't know if we're ready to be like, well, we're like ready to cut bait. I think if these guys, if either one of them or both of them have a good playoff or playoff series, I think that it's okay to just roll into next year with them, especially if, you know, the Phoenix Suns are doing all the posturing, and now it's coming from Devin Booker's side that he doesn't want to, he wants to be a Phoenix lifer, more power to him, and that Phoenix isn't interested in trading him. There's a chance where, like last year, that deal for a star, you kind of need the star to be available.
Yeah, and the only one who, well, Luka is a separate category where they surprised him, but the only
one. He wasn't on the market.
Yeah, until he was. But the only one who has asked out and wanted out and got traded someplace he didn't want to go is Dame. And even he had to acquiesce because he knew Portland wasn't going to give him what he wanted. So,
and he was signed for, years. 4 years?
Yes. Devin Booker is of that same stature where he would have to ask before the Suns would trade him.
Yeah.
It goes beyond, well, they're not winning games. He has been their dude for years, even when they're bad. He was the great hope. And then, of course, they had their run of being a pretty good basketball team. Now they're falling back. He's one of those guys who can call a shot. And right now, he and the Suns don't have the stomach to call that shot. So you might forget about Devin Booker. And the hope could be, and the easiest way, as you said, would be for one of your guys to take a leap. And I think, because I had this talk on Twitter with someone about Jalen Green and how good he's been, the comp is in his own draft class. There was, how good can Cade be? And it's a trash heap there, and you were getting rid of Monty Williams and bringing in Bickerstaff, who just got fired from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And we saw Cade become what he's become. I don't know if he'll be all NBA first team, but he's going to make one of those teams.
He'll be on one of the teams.
Yeah. And that's the difference right now, where the Pistons have accrued talent, but not to the same level as the Rockets.
Yeah.
And Cade has elevated them to a point where they can be fighting for a 5 seed in the playoffs, where they're not even concerned about the play-in. They're going to be in the playoffs because of how good he's been. And that's the hope if you are a Rocket fan and you love Jalen Green, that he can, and I know it might hurt because the rivalry is there, Cade or Jalen, because of their draft status. And we know Jalen likes going at Cade, but Cade as a player so far has taken a leap that Jalen has not taken. Yeah. And we'll see if Jalen gets there. All right, let's go to break here. But before we do that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, I will. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And today, you got the Astros. Are you going to be diamond hands like we're talking about with the Rockets? Are you going to be diamond hands with the Astros lineup finally getting it together? Are you ready? Do you have the stomach to take some mores on a Christian Walker total bases a projection? Do you have the stomach to take a more on an Isak Paredes? I thought he was only going to be good in Daikin Park. Maybe when you put on that Astros uniform, you stop being able to hit in Daikin Park. Maybe he's going to love playing in the 40-degree weather of Target Field. One thing I know is that Nestor Cortez for the Milwaukee Brewers, he's had a tough start to the year, and I'm going to take the less on his pitching fantasy score at 27.5. Also, going back to Target Field, the ice cold Target Field. Joe Ryan, this is a way to project that the Astros bats will heat up a little bit. Have them at more than 4.5 hits allowed. They might not be doubles, they might not be home runs, but two nights ago, the Astros had 7 hits, 6 of them singles. That would have been a hit. So, will the Astros bats come alive? Will they not? You can take lesses on Christian Walker. You can take lesses on Yordan Alvarez. You would have been sitting pretty if you've been doing that so far, but at some point, they are going to rebound. You can take the mores, or you can take the lesses on Prize Picks. If you download the Prize Picks app today, use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay. Not really. You can join the guys out at River Ranch Dayton tomorrow. It's a new community just northeast of Houston. 16 new model homes, homes from the high 200s to the 500s, featuring the Angel Lagoon with white sand beaches and turquoise water. It is a must-see community. ESPN Houston will be there from noon to 6 with Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees. Learn more at riverranchdayton.com. In my past life as a promo person for Cox Communications, I think, did they have the Wave? I don't remember. Either way, I was working for one of the stations, and we would set up at one of these communities. I mean, as a promo person, it's different than the host. It's fine. Generally, there are hot dogs available. I remember that, and chips. Get people out there. Hey, you come out here, we'll feed you too. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but Paul and the Killer Bees will be out there, so you can join them and take a look at the beach. We don't have a lot of great beaches in this state, particularly in this area. You want to see a good one? White sand? Do you want to feel like you're in the Caribbean? Go out to Dayton. I don't think that's ever been said, but the turquoise water and the white sand beaches because of the Angel Lagoon.
I love a good lagoon.
I like the word lagoon. I like saying the word lagoon. Lagoons generally are great in television and movies.
Yeah.
There's usually not a Northeasterner who played high school football in Florida alongside the lagoon, but there will be tomorrow because Paul Gallant will be out there. So you can see him and the lagoon along with the Killer Bees out at River Ranch Dayton. Okay. Speaking of guys who spent time in the Northeast and like the Patriots, Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio is your GM, and he was at the owners' meetings, and we're going to determine if he actually said anything here. Can we pull anything from this quote, or is it just more Caserio at his best? Here's Nick Caserio on the draft and who they're looking for.
Very similarly, we'll go through the process of stacking the board. We're grading the player based on what we think their role potentially is going to be in our system, and we're just going to pick the best players that we feel fit the Houston Texans. So there's no positions that are really off limits. We've never really approached it that way. Really don't foresee that changing here this year. So try to get good players with the right mindset that have a good physical skill set and inject them into our system and see how quickly we can bring them along.
I'm less bothered by that. It's a lot of word salad, but it ain't nuts.
It helps that it's only like 30 seconds.
I shortened it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so BPA.
Best player available.
If Shedeur Sanders is available, they might take him.
That's the long and short of it.
He said that they're not eliminating any positions from being drafted. So, do the Texans take a quarterback? That's my takeaway.
In the fifth round? Maybe.
I mean, what's their grade on Jackson Dart? Is he going to be available at 25?
Speaking of that, it leads us into one of our favorite guys, John Gruden. John Gruden's quarterback class is back, and the dates are out there for us. If we are excited.
The tour dates?
Is it a tour if everyone's coming to town?
Yeah, I guess
I don't think he's traveling the country. At least that's not what I've seen in the past. It's usually in his little room.
Yeah, in Tampa at the, what is it, Fired Coaches Association?
Whatever he called it. It's from his account. He's now with Barstool, so it's at Barstool Gruden. You can find it. Is that part of the deal? You have to put some version of Barstool in your account?
Probably.
Yeah. Gruden's quarterback class is back starting April 7th. The first quarterback, national champion Will Howard. The second quarterback, 2 days later, national finalist Riley Leonard. In 5 days after that, Seth Hennigan. Who was Seth Hennigan? He plays for Memphis. Or he played for Memphis.
Yeah.
A day later, as it picks up, I guess he's getting more guys in.
He's got to get it in before the draft.
Yes,
that's kind
he's
got to
get
part.
Them all in. Kyle McCord, the Syracuse quarterback who ruined, well, Mario Cristobal ruined Miami season, but Kyle McCord was the beneficiary in that final game. Kyle McCord, April 16th. And the special one, our favorite, Quinn Ewers, April 21st. And finally, the player you just mentioned, who happens to be on my television right now, Jackson Dart, April 23rd. Some people on Twitter are being very obvious and saying, what's the common thing going on right here between all these quarterbacks?
No Dylan Gabriel, so they're all right-handed.
One. That's a nice joke to make. I like it. That's one. That wasn't the one that people were leaning into.
No Tyler Shuck either. So there's an age limit, obviously.
Once again, clever on your part. Maybe there's an anti-Louisville bias.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or maybe Tyler Shuck doesn't want to be associated with John Gruden.
Possibly. And the other real prevailing thought from people is, hey, all these guys are white. Where's Cam and Shador?
Oh, yeah. I guess they are all white.
Now, are we to blame? You think John Gruden didn't want Cam or Shador?
Yeah, no, he definitely asked.
Or they're like, nah, what the hell? I'm not doing that. Get out of here.
I can see Cam and Shador saying
what's more likely?
I can definitely say Shador.
Yeah, what's more likely? John Gruden decided, I just want white quarterbacks on this thing? Or the two top quarterbacks in draft set, now we're good.
But Milroe. Milroe is
that's the counter. That's your counter. That's not a bad counter.
Because
Seth Hennigan can be on the quarterback class.
Milroe's going to get drafted before half those guys. At least.
Oh, Sean with a great counter. I was trying to, I don't know why I was shooting John Gruden bail, but now
now he's on Barstool. He's kind of your boy.
yeah, me, known as a big Barstool honk. Yeah. Now you shot that all to shreds. Where is Jalen Milroe?
I want to see him talk with John Gruden. Maybe John Gruden agrees with Bill O'Brien. He's like, maybe try another position.
Look, me and Bill agree on some things and disagree on others. The one thing we do agree on that I'll make public, you should have played running back. That's something he will never say. Never say. So, yes, it's a bunch of Jackson Dart is getting some first-round hype, certainly, but a lot of guys you're going to see on day two and day three for the most part, which is not the star power that John Gruden probably wanted, but that's what he's getting.
Yeah.
Will I watch any of the quarterback class? I will see clips to make sure that they're good for the show because we have a thing we're doing here. But I'm not going to watch full quarterback class stuff. Well, is it short form? Do I get it in 5-minute increments? Maybe. But if it's like
20,
what he did on ESPN, I'm out. I'm not watching 20 minutes of Seth Hennigan. Beat it.
Oh, yeah. No, Hennigan is definitely going to be the least watched.
Am I watching Kyle McCord talk?
Yeah.
No. You might be, but me, no.
Yeah, got to.
I'm not looking at
Kyle McCord. That might be future Texans starting quarterback Kyle McCord.
Why do you want to ruin everyone's hopes and dreams?
Because Nick Caserio said that they're definitely not ruling out drafting a quarterback.
That's
what he said.
I don't think that should be out of the question later in the draft.
Where McCord's going to be available.
If he's drafted in the fourth or fifth round, cool. But you said future starting Texans quarterback.
Well, you know.
When
they might be sitting. Case Keenum started for him 2 years ago.
Davis Mills is still in the way, right? You mean.
He can beat out Davis.
You mean,
I'll stand on that.
You mean 2026 future starting quarterback if CJ's missing a game? Maybe. But,
yeah.
But I don't think he's beating out Davis Mills in 2025.
Want to bet? No, I'm just kidding.
No, actually.
No.
Since you're asking, no.
I don't even want to have to keep track of
that. Who wants to keep track of that? But there it is. Our quarterback class from John Gruden is out. If he has a Shreddum or I don't know. None of these guys have an S as their last name, so I'm not sure what he's going to do.
Shreddum Seth Hennigan.
Ugh, that didn't even sound good. Yeah, whatever it is, we'll have something from John Gruden starting April 7th as his quarterback class has been announced. I still stand on this. Shador and Cam, what am I doing joining this? I'm not doing
Shreddum
that.
Shador. That would have been awesome.
Wow him, Ward. Who? Cam Ward doesn't give us that opportunity. We'll see enough of Cam Ward when he's a Titan. We'll see enough of him in this division. We'll just see how it plays out. Okay, we got one more segment to go before we get out of here. Speaking of graphics, because this is in graphic form, there is a ridiculous graphic that the Cougs Athletic Department put up. It's a lot of which one of these things is not like the other regarding their accomplishments over the last decade. And I say last decade because I had to reach far back to include one accomplishment. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Cougs are in the Final Four. Great accomplishment for the team, the program, and of course, Kelvin Sampson's pretty much... I mean, John Shire's at Duke, but Kelvin Sampson's the biggest star as far as coaches are concerned. You got Todd Golden. Now, Bruce Pearl's pretty eccentric, but I think Kelvin Sampson, the old head, the one who's done it for a while, all the stories about how he rebuilt the program, getting a lot of run this year, and rightfully so. He's done a great job there. But, Sean, did you see, you probably didn't see it, Cougar Athletics put up a graphic, and I thought to myself, all right, I get it, celebrating your accomplishments, but what are we doing? Can you remember who the coach was of that Cougs team who won the Peach Bowl?
Tom Herman.
Correct. And that's what they highlighted along with the two Final Fours. The only school in the country to have two Final Four appearances and a New Year's Six win in the last decade. That's the graphic that got put up. Why? I get it. Everyone loves to find ways to create content.
To be the only school ever to do something.
Yeah.
Or in the last 10 years.
I get it. The only, no, probably the only school to ever do it, because how long has New York Six games?
If they're the only school ever to do it, though, they would have said that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Cause
Florida.
Two Final Fours in the last.
And they won two national championships.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. because it wasn't called the New Year's Six there were New Year's Six bowl games. So, yeah, I'm looking at the graphic right now. A decade of success, and you've got the two Final Fours surrounding the Peach Bowl win. And I think to myself, you know what? It's factually true. I'm just not sure the impact of – you got to think, how many coaches ago was that now? Is that – we're at two major Dane – oh, three, Willie Fritz – Major
I was gonna
Dana.
Say, yeah.
It's three coaches ago. I might have kept that to the side. It's three coaches ago. He left the program to go coach Texas, and you hired two guys who haven't worked out. But there it is. The Cougs, the only team, only program in athletics, college athletics
in America.
True. In college athletics to secure two Final Fours and a New Year's Six win. Sometimes graphics go too far. It's not Martin Luther King do something like Florida State on Martin Luther King Day where they had him do the tomahawk chop.
Not as meaningful as that.
No.
That was, you know, that was for something bigger.
I'm just going to say this one's a reach. It's a reach. You could just lean on the two Final Fours. That's an accomplishment in and of itself, and they happened in the last five years.
So they're highlighting someone who won with all of the previous coaches' players.
And then as soon as he could left.
Someone he's worked for three teams since then.
Yes.
And taken 2 years off.
But they were good times back then.
They were good times.
They were good times. Good times. So, Cougs in a time where they're having a moment right now. Let's see if they can get the job done. They face Duke on Saturday night. We're done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow. At least I will. Sean will be working. He'll just be working a little bit later. So, Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred up, Stroud!
Don't have the same ring as Shred'em, Seth. We'll talk to you tomorrow.